Right. Well, we are in a really powerful series right now about the stirring. And today is Palm Sunday, and it's a special day. So we're gonna stand together and read a scripture. So this will be the last time you'll be asked to stand up and do so many things. Hallelujah. You are so faithful and blessed. But we're going to read a scripture together. We're going to find in Matthew 21, 8 and 9. And we're going to read this together. You can read on the screen or open up your Bibles and do this together. And Sonia, you want my glasses?
Thank you. All right, please read with me. Mm-hmm. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we stand here together, we pray together, we speak together, Father God, and we pray over your word today, over Palm Sunday. Help us to understand what is happening, Father, to us and through us, and through your word in us. And so, Father, we pray over this day for eyes to see and ears to hear what the word is speaking today. And we just praise you for using me and us as a vessel in my life and who I am and what I am for you. I just pray use all of me, Father, to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, we've been really enjoying this series of stirring, and it's been a really good series. You can hear it online. We have a church app, and it's just type in Pavilion Church. You can pull an app up, and it has all the teaching that we've been doing the last 6 weeks. This is a 7 week, all the way leading to Resurrection Sunday. So we're very excited about Resurrection Sunday and what's happening and coming up next week. But we really have been kind of ramping up for all of us through this series called The Stirring. And so I want to talk, first of all, just a little bit about the scripture we just read and what they were actually saying. So I'm going to turn back to the scripture for 1 second, and I'm going to just kind of recap it a little bit. It's saying a great multitude came, and they spread their clothes over the road, and they cut down branches from the trees, and they spread them over the road. And then the multitude who were with him before him, for those who followed, cried out, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna on the highest. And what he's declaring here, what the people are declaring, is a psalm in Psalms 118, 5 and 6. They're declaring that this is a prophecy that when the Messiah will come, the people will shout this. They will declare this. What Hosanna means in Hebrew, it means God has set us free. He's led us out. He's come to deliver us. He's come as a deliverer. There's a praise here, and then there's also a request here. Lord, come deliver too. So there's a declaration, as we say, like kind of as we think of it like this, is he's saying to us as if it's a noun, Lord, Hosanna, you are God, you've come to do it, and you're a verb, come and bring action too. You know, we think of love and we say, oh, love, you know, love's a noun. I love this, I love that. We can use it in that vernacular. But also, we need to use love as a verb. It's something of action in our marriage. Love's not just something we've done, and we've done it at the pulpit, and we've prayed, and we've been married, and now we don't have any action in this. The rest of it's all up to God. We just relax and settle into our marriage, and our marriage suddenly falls apart. Because love's not an action, and when love's not an action, it doesn't become something of motion. And without motion in our lives, without that stirring up, we talked about this last week. If we don't stir up things, we tend to settle down. If we're not stirred up, we settle down. And it happens in our lives, and we live our life, and we go through life, and we look at our life, and we have, at the end of our life, we look back and we have a life of regret. We regret we didn't do things. The American dream is just to settle down and have a home and settle in, but yet that's not life. That's not life in any culture. Life's about stirring up and getting involved and getting excited and doing things you love, a passion and a zeal and excitement. But when you settle in and you settle down, you settle to the bottom. And you go, how did I get here? Happens to us all, how you got there. And so what they're saying here in Hosanna, they're screaming out, they're crying out, they're praising the Lord. Son of David, you're here. We're excited. They're acknowledging God. They're acknowledging Christ. This is probably one of the greatest stirring in history. We look at the whole city was stirred, and everybody was stirred on Palm Sunday. We had all these believers in Christ. This is the Messiah. They were certainly stirred up. They were taking their garments off. They were laying down palm branches, and they were doing these things. And by doing this, they're showing an action. There's something about action that's really important. When you want to stir something up, there has to be a motion or an action to what we do. And in the days of Jesus, a lot of times garments and clothing were an indication of who we were. And we see it a little bit today, like a police officer, they dress in a uniform, and they you know who they are, and when they go like this, you know what to do. Because what they're wearing identifies who they are. We go to a court, and a judge will sit before us, and he sits in a robe, and we know his position by his garment. And so a lot of times back then, that's the way it was. There wasn't a trend. Hey, that's a nice jacket. Where'd you buy that? That's a trend in which we purchase today. But back then, it wasn't like that. It was more of our job. What did we do, and what did we wear, and how we wore, and what we did was an indication of our life and who we were. And so by taking this garment and laying it down, there's an indication I'm laying down. This is me. I'm laying it down for you. And there's an indication of this sacrifice. And if you didn't have a garment, if you didn't have another outer robe, because that cost extra money, and not everybody had just beautiful robes they could lay out, they'd take palm leaves. Lord, this is you. I'm laying this down for you. And a palm leaf is probably one of the biggest leaps you can do. And I believe that's their intention. I want to lay it all down. It's something big here. I'm not, you know, throwing down, you know, here's a handkerchief. You know, I lay that down for you. It's like, no, I'm laying everything. This is it. This is what I lay. So the indication here is an action. It's a motion in here of what they are doing and they were declaring. And really, it's a stirring of the good and great people and great things that were happening. But also, there was a lot of upset people. I just don't have to tell you that. You just read the scripture. You will know that. There's a lot of upset people that they're coming in here and claiming him to be the Messiah. They're the church. The Romans weren't happy about who's this guy? What's he stirring up here? And so there's a lot of stirring up that happened. In Isaiah 14:9, it says, hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you, and you're coming. It's stirred up for death for you, and all the chiefs is one of the earth, and is rising up from their throne, and all the kings of their nation. Death is even excited because they're thinking, we got him. We got him. He's come into our territory. Here he is. We baited him and we lured him, and this now we've got him. They're excited for Jesus coming because they're stirred up to see his destruction. And now they have him in their power. They have him in the place. And now they set their plan to destroy Christ. So not only are good people excited, stirred up about this Sunday, Palm Sunday, but also we have a lot of people with evil intentions. They're excited about, here comes Jesus. We're going to wipe this out for once and for all. We're finally done with this false prophet, this false Messiah. So as we're learning about this stirring and we're learning about things that God's doing in us, I want to give an example of a life, and it's Elijah who we find in the Old Testament, and I found a picture on the internet of Elijah, so there it is. Yeah, you can pretty much find anything there, and he happened to be stirring something up, so I thought, hey, win-win, we've got Elijah, a man stirring up faith. So I just want to talk about Elijah, and I want to grab my Bible real quick, and we find this story in the Old Testament. Elijah is a mighty man of God, and he's not happy. He's kind of stirred up about what the king Ahab is doing to the people, and he's also doing to God. He's disrespecting God, and they're following other gods, Baal, and they're doing all kinds of things. So Elijah gets a little stirred up himself, and he gets a little bit excited about this, and it's in 1 Kings, if anybody needs to follow, in 17 and 18. And so he gets a little excited himself, and he comes up to the king and says, hey, king, what you're doing is not right. This is not good. And I'm praying no rain. I'm praying there's no rain until I pray again. There will be no rain. And so you want to stir somebody up, you know, make them starve. You'll get their attention. You know, make somebody hungry. When you ever see your kids not eating? Yeah. They don't care how tired you are and how long your day was. Mom, I'm hungry. Feed me. And I just got home. Feed yourself. You know, they're like, that ain't going to happen. You know, no matter how old they are, just somehow they can't move their arms when it comes to eating, you know. Feed me. And so Elijah's stirring up. He's stirring up Israel. He's stirring up the people. And he's making a point here. He's going to stir up the king. So he declares that you're not, we're not, there's no provision for until I pray again. He doesn't give us a timeline. We know how long now, but he doesn't give a timeline. And then it says he goes away into this brook and he drinks and eats there. And the ravens come to feed him there. Now, he's pretty stirred up. So this is a man who's stirred up for God. He's a passionate man of God. Now, when you're in this brook in this time and you're being fed by the ravens, and it says in the scriptures that they brought him bread and food, brought him bread and meat in the morning and in the night. I just want to kind of, you know, this looks so glamorous. You know, we think of everything so pretty. But do you know what a bird eats for meat? He didn't go to Kroger's, go to the meat department. They got a nice juicy steak. Oh, Elijah will like this morning. Yeah, they're looking at roadkill. Here comes a chariot. Maybe it'll run something over. And we glamour. I mean, we make this so glamorous. You know, he's sitting on a lounge chair by a brook, sunning himself. And like, I'm like, this isn't a great thing. I mean, it's awesome he's being provided for, but this is tough. He's got to really stir this up. And sometimes when we come to church, if things just aren't right for us and it's too cold or too hot or too bright of carpet or you know, the pastor's too loud or something, you know, we get stirred up. We're like, oh, I wasn't comfortable there. Well, yeah, sometimes God will put you in positions to provide for you, but it's not provide for your comfort. Sometimes it'll provide for you to be stirred up about stuff. And you don't like the carpet, I volunteer anyone. I would accept anybody's donation to change this. Financially, you want to buy new carpet? I am with you. I will not fight you. But it's something that just doesn't bother us. It doesn't mean anything to us because we know this is where God has us for a provision. And it might not be the birds bringing me the food and bread. I'm like, yeah, there's a little mold on that bread. Here's what Elijah would do. Okay, no more mold on that bread, you know. Well, that meat doesn't look real good. Well, just go like this then. Shut your eyes and cook away. But then it says here, the word goes on, and it says the brook dried up. And at that time, Elijah knew it's time to move on. A lot of times for us, when our brook dries up, that's just more time to complain. Now, I haven't gotten good meal. I haven't got good food. I haven't got it. And now what I did have that was good, it just dried up. And we look at those moments not as opportunities to see God working through us, but as opportunities for us to complain about where we are and it's not perfect or it's not right and I want more. Gimme, 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 because my name is... Sorry, Jim. I'm not preaching with you. All right. But that's how we tend to be. We don't get stirred up unless it's something negative for us. And it's just something we're not happy about. And I didn't like the way this happened. Then we get plenty stirred up. But when it comes to things of God and comes to things that God's doing in us, it's like it takes a sledgehammer sometimes. Like my brook's dried up now. We'll see, every time I pray to God, he doesn't hear me. No, he's just moving you on. Get out of that place. I got better stuff for you. Oh, okay, the brook's dried up. Let's go. I'm excited. When you look for that excitement, you're passionate about what God's doing, you look for the opportunities for doors to open. That's right. Instead of looking for all the doors to shut. Yeah. All those doors could be 99 doors. Who cares how many doors shut? I just care about one that's open. And if I'm all counting all the doors that are shut, I'm going to miss the one that just opened. And that's the only one that matters. So Elisha gets out and he goes out. I'm paraphrasing it so we can save on time. I want to be conscious of your time. And so he goes out and he meets this widow. And this widow has one more meal. One thing of oil, one thing of flour. She's like, I don't have anything for you. I can't feed you. I just have this one more meal. And Palm Sunday is about laying things down. And he said, you know, feed me that meal. And she's like, she had to come to terms with that, her son and her. And she's like, if I feed you this meal, we're all just going to die. And he's like, you got to lay, you know, what will you lay down? And it's a big sacrifice. And as a shepherd, my job as a pastor, I don't do those sacrifices. I don't look into those. I let the Lord lead you in that. I'm always wanting to provide more for you. I know Elisha was. And so what happened here is the story goes on is she said, I'm going to lay it down. I'm going to give it to you. And the Bible says, the scriptures say that she never wanted from that day forward until rain came again. She never wanted. It always was there. It was always enough. And sometimes we hang on to the penny in our hand when God wants to hand us $1,000 or $1,000,000. And we can't grasp it. Because my hand's not in the position to get something. So no matter what he gives me, it's great, but it's not going to stay there. I really need that, but it's not for me to keep. I really need more money, but I seem to be broke. I got it, Glenn. Glenn, sit down. No wheelchair. But I appreciate the heart. I appreciate the heart. So what's happening here is God is helping us to see something. God's got blessings for us. But we got to open up. Let that penny drop out. Not the thousand, not the million, not the $1,000,000,000 he's trying to hand you. Let the penny drop. Then you got hands to grab and things to see. You know, and you've got seed to sow. And that's really what Palm Sunday is kind of about is we're laying down some things today. That's what Palm Sunday's about, is laying down what it is that we have and what it is that we're holding on to so that we can have more. Not so he can take it away from us and go, look, I want your life to be miserable. No, he's like, no, look, I want your life to be blessed. And that's really what he's doing for us. And so Elisha says here, Glenn, I'm going to ask you because this would help me. I broke my flipper. I flipped it. Oh, I did flip it? Okay. Wrong way. Right. Back up to hell. Praise the Lord. Hey. Bart Simpson says, that's in the Bible. I can say it. So, all right. So here we go. So what's happening here is Elisha is meeting with this widow. And then a week later, the widow's son dies. And guess who's there? Elijah's there. He prays for the son and brings him back to life. So it's this, he's moving this thing forward. He knows the needs before we know we need them. And so this is really what this Palm Sunday is about, is knowing the needs. So Elisha, now he's ready to pray. He's ready for rain to come. And he calls to the king, Ahab, and he comes to king. And he says, okay, gather everybody around, all 400 of your Baal priests and all that. We're going to just have a shootout here, a good Western, knock them down and shoot them up. And let's do this together. And here's what the key to this, I believe, this is really what Elijah was after in the first place. Elijah says, and he comes to all the people and says, how long will you falter between two opinions? See, what, you know, what, he's not preaching, you know, this is the only way. This is the, she's just like, what's killing you is you're stuck between two things. If you like Baal, man, go serve Baal. That's awesome. Yeah. But if you like God, stop doing both. So he says, how long will we be two opinions? He says, if God is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people, he didn't answer a word. He's stirring them. And the point he's making for all of us is to understand that God is here in us, and he's really, this is Elijah stirring up Israel. He's stirring up a nation. He's saying, either guys, follow God or follow Baal, but don't follow both. Don't try and do both. You'll never succeed at either one. Baal, even Baal would be on my side for this one. He's like, yes, you know, I want these people. Okay, let them. When I preach and I teach and I talk to people about the Word of God, I want people to be happy. So if God's not happiness, if God's not blessing you, if God's not healing you, if God's not bringing abundant blessing to you, follow your gods. If that's what it is for you, follow that. But do it with all your heart, because halfway is killing you. God says, I would rather you be ice cold or red hot. But lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. And so here's Elijah. He's like, stop being between two opinions. He's ready to stir them up. He's ready to go, let's make this deal. Let's make this work. Let's make this happen for God. Or don't do it at all. And the good thing about not doing it at all is that you will learn and see that maybe this isn't right. Maybe this isn't a good choice. Maybe this isn't perfect for me. Maybe there is more with God. Then serve God with all your heart. And as I teach and I talk to young men and young women and talk to businessmen in our community, businessmen that we work with and live with, I share a gospel that's full of hope and full of grace, because I've lived that other life. I've been down that road. You can't tell me it's glamorous. You can't tell me you're having fun. You can't tell me this is good, that I wake up hungover and hurting, broken and destroyed and losing friends every day. And it's a situation that's tough, and I'm going downhill fast. You can glamorize it all you want, but I've been that road, and you're not telling the truth if it's anything good. So I'm not sharing something with you because I want you to go be a drunkard. But if going to be a drunkard will help you to understand the truth, then I want you to be a drunkard. Because I want you to get to the end of that. Because that's killing you. Pornography is killing you. Adultery is killing you. No, this is good. It's helping our marriage, and somehow we're making it stronger. And it's killing you. And the truth is, you won't watch. You won't see. You won't admit it. And so all he's saying here is just admit it. What you're... If you think Baal's, then follow Baal. If you think God's God, then follow God. But don't do anything halfway. Yeah, that's right. And I can say that because I've been there. I've done that. I've lived that. And I can say that wasn't good for me. It wasn't successful for me, my life. And if it is for you, show me. Show me. I'll show you. I mean, I'm not saying that bragging, but I will. I'll show you my love if you can show me yours. So he goes on, and this is James 5. I'm going to turn to the New Testament. James 5, he says this about Elijah. He says, confess your transgressions to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, that means a man not of two opinions, a righteous man, avails much. That means your prayers are powerful, people. Your prayers are powerful. Elijah was a man with a nature like our own. What he's describing here, and he goes on and says that Elijah prayed for 3 years for the water to rain to stop, and it stopped for 3.5 years. And then prayed again, and it came. And he says, he's a man like ours, like us. He's just like you and me. What made him different wasn't who he was, but what he was. It wasn't how he was, but how he lived his life that made it powerful. And that's really what God's after for us. It's not you're better or I'm better or we're lifting each other and doing this battle of comparison. It's not about them and us, or it's about working together. We're a unity of one. And if we can help our community, we win. Our community wins. People win, lives change. But if we think this is about fighting against them and that we're going to just shut ourselves into here and we're going to worship God with all of our heart in here and let them be them and not have a hope, not have another way, not have a truth, not have somebody that cares about them, then we're isolating them and we're not being effective. It says, confess your transgressions to one another. Being transparent to one another is a good thing. But you can't do that if you're never with anybody else. You're only here worshiping by yourself. We want to be out there and pray with others because our prayers are effective to healing, changing lives, making people better, healthier, stronger, more committed, and hopefully more stirred up. We want to stir our passion and our zeal. And as he's talking here, it's talking about how he did this, how Elijah just prayed with a fervency because he was a human, a normal person, just like you and me. And in the time, I want to say real quick that the time he prayed for healing after he had done the great shootout and he had a great victory, God showed up. And he said, okay, now it's time to pray for rain. And he prayed seven times, just praying on his knees. And he'd say to his servant, go see if there's rain clouds coming. Go see. He's like, no, not yet. Okay, let's just keep praying. And he prayed and prayed, prayed. And sometimes we pray once and then we're like, oh, it didn't happen.
Come on now.
Well, it's just, you know, not God's time. Really? Because God's time is yours. God's hurting. People are hurting. They're God's people hurting. He wants more, right, like Rachel said, he wants more good for them to happen than you do. So he's asking our heart to pray, our heart to reach people, to pray for people fervently, because we know God will work this. And so he prayed seven times, and the servant went out. He saw a small little cloud the size of a fist, and he's like, okay, now he's stirred up. Just understand, Elijah's super stirred up. And he goes, okay, that's the rain. That's it. It's here. Let's go get the wagons, get the horses. Tell the king to get on his chariot, and he better get back to Jerusalem right now because the rains are coming. Yeah. And it says in the word that the storms came in and the chariots were running, and Elijah outran the chariots. So, I mean, that's that. You want some superpowers? There's some superpowers there. I'm like, wow, there's Dash right there. You just... So God is doing something. He's stirring something in us. He's building something in us. And all it requires is us to be steadfast in what we're doing and believe what God's saying and be stirred up in what we believe. We're not going to see it all the time, every time and whenever, but we do see it and stand on that and hold that and believe that. Here's Elijah. He's believing that and seeing that. So I want to give an example. Let's talk about something in today's modern era. Let's talk about a revival that happened. Yeah, there it is. And this is a revival that happened, and it was actually called the Layman Revival. The Layman Prayer Revival happened in 1857, and it happened by Jeremiah Lamphere. And Jeremiah was a layman. And what a layman means, and so everybody understands, is just a normal person. He was just a person. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a preacher. But he was hired by the Dutch Baptist Church, and he was a Dutch Baptist missionary. And he was hired by the church because the church in New York, this was out on New York City in Manhattan. And the church was just, everything was dying. The people were leaving. The church was dying. All the churches in Manhattan were dying. New York was in a bad struggle. It was in a bad situation. So they hired this layman to go out and to stir up the people. Get them into the churches. Get them into the church here and get them going. So he went out and he printed 20, I've read this, he printed 20,000 flyers out and he passed them out to the people. He noticed that in Manhattan, that the busiest time the streets were at noon, when people were walking in and out and they were going to their lunch and going back and forth to their office. And he's like, well, if I print these 20,000 flyers and invite people to come to church, I'll invite them to come to church at noon at our church here, the Reformed church there that he had. And he's like, I'm going to invite them to this church. It's a Dutch church, but it doesn't matter. He said, I'm going to invite them to come for prayer at noon on Wednesday. And I'm going to print out 20,000 flyers and pass them out during noon. And he passed them out for weeks and weeks. And here comes the day. And it was in September 23rd, 1857. And he goes up to the upper room where he had set the prayer time to be and the place to be. And 12 o'clock came and no one came. 20,000 flyers. No one came. 12:15, 12:20. I'd be praying hard. I'm like, okay, if it's only just me, I'm praying. This is for me. I'm going to take it. This is my heart. I want to pray. And 12:30 came around, and one person, he could hear clicking, clacking of one person walking up the stairs. And he's like, okay, well, one person's here. And then pretty soon he heard another person. And so by 1 o'clock, They'd finished the prayer. It was an hour prayer. He was really strict about that. It's just 1 hour. I only want you here for 1 hour. And by 1 o'clock, they had had six people show up. Talk about a cloud where Elijah's praying. And he's like, there's the storm cloud. There's a cloud the size of my fist. That's the storm. It's here. He's like, six people are here. That's good enough. Let's pray this. Let's seek God after this. And he's a layman. He's a normal, regular, everyday person seeking after God in prayer, as it says in James 5. If we would just seek God and pray, God will hear us just like he did Elijah. He heard Elijah. He'll hear you. There's no difference. There's no better or worse. God says all of us are his children. We're all equal. So he's like, just pray. Just pray. Six people showed up. He said, okay, I'll see you guys next Wednesday. And 20 people showed up. He's like, oh, we're doing good. 20 people showed up. That's awesome. They hired him to fill the church, but he wasn't filling the church yet. He was just filling a prayer meeting first, which I think is wisdom. And I think that's God. So the next Sunday, the next Wednesday came along, they had 40 people show up. That's awesome. That's great. And they started to pray and continue to pray. And they said to him, they said, well, what if we do this every day on Monday through Friday? What if we pray every day? He's like, yeah, okay, we can do that. And they started to pray and more people came and filled it. Pretty soon, the entire church was filled with people praying. And they had to go across the street where the YMCA was. And the YMCA just started. It just became an entity. And they had to go across the street and thousands, I think they said 3,000 people would come and pray. Pray and seek the Lord. And it was 1 hour. And if you had a prayer, this is the way they ran it, a couple different ways. But if you had a prayer, you could pray. You could stand up and say, I have a prayer. And you could say whatever your prayer is, no longer than 3 minutes. And they would pray. Strict. They were not, there was no, well, we're going to pray for hours. We're going to let the Holy Spirit, we're going to do that. It was strict. You had 3 minutes. What's your prayer? Okay, let's pray. No pastors were there. No leadership. They asked no leadership to come. And they just prayed. Pretty soon it was thousands of people coming to pray. Pretty soon it started spreading throughout New York and spreading throughout Manhattan. And by December, in New York alone, they had had over 10,000 people coming and praying every day. Talk about laying down your palm leaf. Talk about they were laying down their lunch. They were laying down their day. Just something simple. God's not looking for you to lay down, oh, my God, pastor's preaching today that I got to lay everything down. Yeah, you just got to lay out what that penny is that's holding you. What is that you're holding on to? He doesn't need much. He doesn't need much. Just give him a little. And they prayed their lunch away. I bet none of them died. Fasting a little bit doesn't hurt you. But that's what they did. They laid their lives down. They prayed and they sought the Lord. And pretty soon it spread out through the United States. Pretty soon in Chicago, they had records of people meeting thousands and thousands in Chicago, in the cities, in the streets, and in the big theaters that they have out in Chicago. People were praying 1 hour a day, seeking after God. It went all the way from Maine all the way to California. People were praying. You don't read about this in your textbook. You don't hear about this in your historical articles, but it's there. Google it. Google everything else. Google that. Revival, prayer revival. Google layman prayer revival, 1857. You'll see it. It's there. It stirred our nation. Pretty soon we had thousands and thousands of people through the nation praying. 1 hour. 1 hour. And they were strict about it. They okay, it's one. We're done. I got to pray. See you tomorrow. Ring it tomorrow. But the passion to pray and the passion to seek after God is simple. We can overcomplicate it sometimes. Well, if our pastor will lead that, if we'll have 10 deacons that will guide us. Come on, man. These are laymen, people, businessmen, clerks, bakers, butchers, nurses, maids. These were people that had lives that wanted God. Just as it says in James 5, Elijah wasn't anything special. He was just like all of us. He just had a prayer. They were passionate to pray. And pretty soon, this is one of the few revivals in history that actually, pretty soon, it started to spread across Ireland, Scotland, Wales, England. It started spreading across the United States and across the world. And they prayed and they prayed for their nation. And within, and I'll say this because God knows this. They needed prayer. Because what they didn't know what was ahead of them was the thing they were praying for. They knew never even knew they had. Like the kind of like the widow, the woman. She didn't know her son was going to die next week. But here comes Elijah, give me your bread, give me your flour, I want your meal. And God provided for her. But it was for the son that he came. Because her son would die. And Elijah was there to pray. And he came back to life. Here in America, we didn't know what we were praying for, but we knew we needed prayer. 3 weeks after they started the prayer meeting, the Philadelphia bank collapsed. And the stock market crashed. 30,000 Americans were out of jobs, standing in line, broke and poor and hungry. We didn't even know this would happen, but God already prepared a way for it. He already set us in a motion of prayer. We didn't even know, and I believe it was because of this, that in 3 years after this started, we would be in a civil war, fighting for blacks' freedom and the rights of all men. But see, when you don't get stirred up, you settle down. And the reason why we allowed this culture of slavery to go for so long, because we were so complacent. That's their, man, that's their deal. I don't need to get in it. I just personally don't believe in it. But that's, you know, I don't want to get in their battle. I don't want to get in their fight. It's not my, I don't care. But when you seek God and you pray and you confess yourself before the Lord, it says, you're laying down your life for someone else. And it so stirred the nation and so stirred our civil freedoms and rights that we believe for people. We realized and we woke up to a fact that this can't happen anymore. This is on us. We've got to do something with this. And it stirred us into a civil war because we knew what was right. And we needed it for prayer. We needed to pray this in. We needed to pray this through. And this is the kind of things that we don't read in our history books of how these things happen or why these things happen and what happens, but it happens because we needed it. And then we can look here, this slide here, it tells us the stirring up through prayer. It says in 1857, Wall Street was filled with people from six people praying over 2 million salvations of lives. You think a little cloud's important? You think God can use the smallest person in this building? The youngest of the young and the oldest of old, can he use us? We need it. We need to be stirred up in a place that we realize that God is going to use us. And on Palm Sunday, the significance of realizing what today is this is the day where the men and people of Jerusalem laid down who they were and what they were. They laid it down because they knew the Messiah was here. They laid it down because they wanted the change in life. But because they weren't stirred up, and it wasn't a life change, it was an emotional change. By Friday, here it is, Sunday, they're worshiping Jesus, the Messiah. Here he is, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. Hosanna. By Friday, they're shouting, crucify him. You don't think being stirred up is important? Because we'll shout the death of him by Friday. Unless we pray, unless we stir, unless we lay down those things that we have that are blocking us. And there are things we're holding on to, and I'm believing in the scale of life, they're pennies that are holding us from riches. For our nation, for our people, for our government, for our life. God is stirring. Confess your transgressions to one another is a representation of laying down who we are, what we are. We're confessing, this is me. We're confessing that, hey, I've got this and I've got that, but I don't own it. I just lay it down before the Lord. This is what I've done and I'm not proud of it, but it's not stopping me. I'm not holding on to it anymore. It's not something that defines me or declares me. I lay it down for the Lord. This is yours, and I want you to walk all over it. So when we confess our transgressions to one another and we pray with one another that we may be healed, that we will be healed. This nation is a nation founded with prayer. And a time and time again brought revival. And here, when we realize the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. This is how we break through. This is how we get to. This is how we change the world. Because this isn't about, I want more, or I'm wanting better. There's not a man and a woman here in this building that when they see the joy of their children growing up, being strong, being healthy, being good, being married, having more children themselves, there's no greater joy to see someone else be blessed with the blessings they need. But we can't do that if all our attention's on what we want, what we need, what we're doing. And this is the day of Palm Sunday that we just need to lay some things down, that just like they did in Palm Sunday, we need to lay some stuff down for Him. And I want to ask our prayer team to come forward, and we're going to just take a moment and a time. I want to respect your time, but at the same time, I don't want to miss this moment. But if that's you, there's some things you want to lay down. There's some things you want to give up. Palm Sunday's that day for us, that day where we can just lay our cares to Him. We can lay it all down to Him. And it's not about our title or our position of pastors or leaders. This was a laid revival that happened by people who just were passionate to pray. And our nation needed it. We need it. And so I want to ask you, if you need prayer, let us pray with you right now. We want to not pass this day or miss this moment, but we want to pray with you and just pray that God lets you and helps you to let go, but helps guide you to stir up what's in you. Stop serving two masters. Stop serving two things. Start serving one. If it's the world, then do it all the way. Tell me how good it is, and I'll listen. But if that's not meeting your needs, there's a God that does. And there's millions and millions of testimonies of that very truth. People coming from drugs and alcohol and pornography and abuse, poverty, and stepping into lives that were changed and transformed. So if that's you, I'm going to encourage you right now. We want to pray with you. This is Palm Sunday. Just lay it down. Let God deal with it. All you have to do is turn it over. Thank you, Father God. Thank you.